This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury, and you are listening to Enterprise. Now, today, we've got the first of a three-part series, which we're calling the Rocks Rewind. If you didn't already know, we are having an event, and it is BFM Enterprise Rocks 2018. Our theme this year is online, offline, let's get the party started. It's happening on Tuesday, June the 26th at Connection at Nexus in Bangsa South. Now, of course, we did have an event last year. Also, Enterprise Rocks. Last year, it was about when times are tough, what does it mean for the future of retail? So what we thought we'd do is we'd take some of our favorite moments from last year's conference and broadcast them here for you guys in three parts. So this week is part one, and we're taking it from the first session. The first session was called Dazed and Confused Between Offline and Online. Think about Amazon, then Amazon Go, the new frictionless walk-in, walk-out concept grocery store. The best mix is now interweaving digital technology with an offline shopping experience. And this was all about how to finding out how to create the right mix to better interact with customers, you know, market your products and hire talents. So we had four speakers and one moderator. It was Christy Ung, who was the founder of Christy Ung Shoes. We had Lim Cheng Fei Shang, who's the CEO of Major Drop. Danny Chua, the head of payments for Enterprise Maxis Berhad. And then we had Hans-Peter Ressel, who was the CEO of Lazada Malaysia. We put them through their paces. We asked them a whole bunch of questions. Moderating the panel was our very own Frida Liu. So we're going to play part one for you now. This is Dazed and Confused Between Offline and Online.
Thank you. Thank you, Richard, and thank you to the Hooks. Yes, they played my song, Are You Gonna Go My Way? Thank you to everyone. I just want to make sure everyone's got their mic on.
Okay. Perfect.
So yes, you've met all the panelists as well. And today, the first topic that we have is Dazed and Confused, offline and online. Of course, we know Lazada. Who has shopped on Lazada? Okay. So I know your team is here. Those who don't have their hands up, they'll be on to you. And of course, from Maxis, we also have. We all know Maxis. And Christy Ng, who's been to her shop? Yes, okay, it should be the ladies, not even the men. I've been following her story ever since. I've gone to her house to actually do some shopping. So she started off with off online from the get-go. And Major Drop is actually a spin-off. Well, one of the branches from Pestle & Mortar. Anybody shop at Pestle & Mortar? Hipsters? The hipsters would be shopping there, right? Your kids probably have. So anyway, thank you to all the panelists. So I think one of the things that whenever we go into the retail space, right? Do you have a physical shop? Do you go online, or is it both? When's the right timing and all that? So I want to ask the first question to the first question, and two of them, Fei Xiang and Christy as well. Now, I know with Christy, you were online for 4 years before you decided to start your physical shop. For Fei Xiang, you guys pretty much simultaneous, right? What was the thinking behind the strategy for you, maybe Christy, how you went from online and then 4 years later to go with physical stores?
Because I sell shoes, so I think the first 4 years, we did quite okay. But then we realized that it is a consumer behavior to want to try on a pair of shoes before buying it. So after, you know, doing business for 4 years, you know, we had over a million page views on our site, but we don't have a million pairs of shoes sold. So we sort of figure out that, you know, we need you know, a physical store for customers to come and try our products on. So, hence the physical store.
Okay, and that was last year. You had a physical store a couple of years ago, and then after that, you are on a major drive at the moment, right? When you started with online as well, you had a lot of followers, you had a lot of that as well. How did that happen? How did the numbers of people on Instagram and Facebook start following you?
What happened in 2012 was, you know, I took some pictures of a couple of my designs, and then I posted it on Facebook, and it's sort of gone through word of mouth. My customers started sharing my designs with their friends, And that sort of snowballed into the into what we have today. So there was a lot of sharing. Because social media is very is a whole new world. I noticed that a lot of traditional retailers, they don't use it. It's so easy to use, but it's so easy to use. And I think what I did right was I got the conversation going on with my consumer. It was a place for customers to, you know, ask me questions directly, comment on my design, critique my design, you know, request for designs which we don't have. So I think the younger generation, they really need that. Yeah, so after 4 years, we managed to build a following about 500,000 on Facebook. So I think that really helped us to turbocharge every time we launch a new design. So every time I launch a new design, I will announce it on all this platform with all this database that I have, and the designs will get sold pretty fast. So I think the database is my war chest. Like every time I launch a new product, I will test it on my base first. If the product resonates with my Instagram followers or my Facebook followers, I will produce more of it and distribute to all my shops. So that's how I'm doing it now.
Okay, and Fei Xiang?
I mean, we started Major Drop about 2.5 years ago from a company called Pestle Mortar, a brand called Pestle Mortar that was doing crazy things in the streetwear and the lifestyle scene in Malaysia already. So the idea of going both online and offline at the same time was just purely global dominance. No way one can exist without the other in our scene or in our industry specifically. Customers want to see, want to experience, want to feel things both online and offline. So the store in Sunway Pyramid acts as a place, obviously, where the 18 to 24s most congregate at. You've got numerous international and local universities. So positioning was key and prime. So that's where they got to touch and feel the product, got to talk to our front of staff, get the feel and the vibe of what Major Drop was about to experience and to give out. Online was what we tried to do to cater to that across Southeast Asia. And that's the aim of our game. That's the aim of our game.
You're saying 18 to 24, so you're very clear about the target segment. And 18 to 24, definitely, you know, life is on the phone.
Yes, yes. Yeah, exactly. That's where they're at, mobile shopping and whatnot. I mean, 18 to 24 makes up of the bulk of our customers. Those who choose to live young, you know, just to live free and a little bit more experimentative with their fashion scene and whatnot. Yeah, they do drop by as well. So it's a very interesting space to be in, but very niche, but a growing niche, I would say that. I mean, streetwear is a $6 billion US dollar industry, from sneakers all the way to caps, predominantly from the US, from Europe and whatnot, and it's spilling into to Southeast Asia quite predominantly. So Major Drop stands as a platform for these brands to sit in Malaysia, alongside regional brands from, you know, Indonesia, Singapore, Thailand, and that's what we aim to do. That's the aim of the game.
Okay. And for you, Christy, what's the target market, or what's the demographics or psychographics of your clientele?
Women who are between the age of 25 to 35. That's predominantly my biggest pool of customers. But we started off selling wedding shoes. So that back then, wedding shoes were very, very hard to find. So a lot of customers they come to our site to look for such shoes. So along the way, we have expanded our product line. So currently, the customer base ranges from 20-year-old girls to 45-year-old ladies.
Okay, and is it different, the people that shop online and the people that go to your physical stores?
The amount of money they're willing to spend is very different. Like my average purchase online ranges between is about 200 ringgit, but when customers come to my store, it can go up to $400-$500 per customer per transaction. Okay. Yeah, so when people are able to see the shoe and try it on and look at the quality, you know, and you know, cash on carry, they love that feeling. I pay you, I get item immediately. They're willing to spend more, much more than online. Whereas online, they like to shop online for bargains and, you know, for maybe cheaper products with lower price point. It moves very well online. So I noticed that, you know, my more affordable products, they move very fast online. They move faster online, in fact. For shoes like which are in the 100 ringgit price range, they move very, very fast, lightning speed online. faster than a physical store can do. But if it's going to be custom-made shoes or wedding shoes or, you know, shoes which cost above 300 ringgit, the brick-and-mortar store plays a very, very important role for my business.
Right. So, and in terms of the pricing strategy and all that, a lot of it was tested and measured. You didn't know what was the right pricing for each, but a lot of it was just sort of along the way you found out that this was the rhythm, this was the algorithms were showing you these things.
At the beginning, I had no clue, so I wing it all the way. But after a while, I see a trend. Yeah. So from there, I know how to position my products better.
Right. Okay. And if you would talk about, just the two of you, in terms of the contribution from offline and online, right, what would the ratio be?
Like for us, it's 70 brick and mortar, 30% online. Mm. But online, it's, well, we've noticed in the last year and a half at least, online's grew double.
Right.
100% growth. Yeah, taking into effect, people love a good bargain and a good coupon online. That definitely helps spur. But that saves us a lot of money. Because, you know, fashion products, you've got mass, you've got huge amounts of inventory. And to factor in cost of, you know, opening up an outlet or somewhere where you can distribute these off-season sort of goods, perishable in that sort of form, online is the way to go. You get to control the shipments that go out, where it's coming from, and manage the cost indirectly. And everything can be tracked. Everything's got a KPI to it, and everything can see that sort of exponential growth at the same time.
For me, it's very interesting. With every brick and mortar store we open, our online sales increases. So for us, it has been working very, very well. The O2O strategy, online, offline, offline, online. You know, that strategy has been working tremendously well for my business. Okay. It's just my business. Maybe it's because of the nature of the product, but I think it's what consumers want. They want to try the product, you know, in the shop, and then maybe go home, think about it later, buy online, or they see the product online, and then okay, where is the nearest Christy Ng store to my house? Oh, Wan Utama. So they go to Wan Utama, they walk in the store, then they'll bring their handphones, and then they'll show my sales assistant. Okay, I want this shoe. Then my sales assistant will take it out for them. They try. Okay, this is what I want.
You are listening to Rocks Rewind Part 1 here on Enterprise on BFM 89.9. When we come back, how best to create the right mix to better interact with your customers with our Dazed and Confused Between Offline and Online panel. You're listening to Enterprise on BFM 89.9.
Bring forth money. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back. You are listening to Enterprise on BFM 89.9. If you're only just joining us, we are doing our Rocks Rewind from last year, which of course was when times are tough. What does it mean for the future of retail? Our panel featured Christy Ng from Christy Ng Shoes, Lim Cheng Fei Shang from Major Drop, Danny Chua, who was from Enterprise Maxis Berhad, and Hans-Peter Ressel, who was the CEO of Lazada Malaysia. We were talking about how best to create the right mix to better interact with customers and a whole bunch of other stuff. All coming up in part two here on BFM 89.9.
Hans, okay, now Lazada was online from the get-go. You've now celebrating fifth year in business. Is this the strategy, always online, the strategy?
So first of all, I feel insulted. You did not mention my Instagram follower base. I think I have 77 followers and I might hit the 100 by the end of June.
By the end of today.
No, I think online, no, it's not only online. And in fact, arguably, we are already having much more offline presence than might want to think. I think online to offline, exactly what we're trying to do. Because it's, in the end, the customer that, I mean, what is being online? I see people here on their mobile phones right now being online while sitting here. Probably you're shopping at Lazada or you're returning your item or you're complaining on customer service. But it's very crucial that to understand that even in shopping malls, people are on their mobile phones. Yeah, you go to Facebook, you ask them how much time Malaysians spend on a mobile phone every day. It's 3.8 hours. We're awake at 16. That's 25% of your time. You're mobile. That's the interesting part. You're mobile everywhere you are. At home, in the bus, in the cab, at work. You know, everywhere in the shopping mall, you're mobile. And I think this is the key. People go with a mobile phone to the offline shop and say, that's what I want, that's what I like. So I think if you start looking what we're trying to do, we work with the brands as well. We have all different kinds of brands, and their interest is, of course, also, you know, to be present everywhere. How to engage with customers is being with the customers where the customers are right now. That might be offline, that might be in a department store, that might be in a shopping mall or in their branded store. And they have a high interest to really engage with the customers while they're online, but then send them back there. So we work together with retailers like Tesco, Senheng, Sports Direct, Watson's, Focus Point, City Chain, you name them, we work with them. So this is really key. Even the offline brick and mortar stores have that interest to say, my customers are online too, 4 hours per day. How do I engage with them? I need a platform. Some can do it by themselves, some cannot do it. So that's what we are here for. Payment, yeah? We just launched 7-Eleven MOL Pay over the counter in 2,100 stores. So you now can go and pay offline for an order that you bought online. You can even pick them up offline in some 7-Eleven stores. You can return them offline. So it is really following the customer through the customer behavior, analyzing where and when does the customer behave in which way, use which kind of device, and then try to be there, try to be relevant, try to be, you know, at the center of the customer's intention. Push notifications, all these things. People will always spend time in shopping malls. As an online player, how to engage with them while they're there, what kind of services and solutions to offer them while they are offline is key to survive, and vice versa.
Okay, I know I go shopping for clothes online and offline. I've got to work out how much time I spend on both. Okay, now, Danny, how is Maxis supporting new enterprises? And I believe this is a new division set up by Maxis as well. To tell us a little bit about your strategy and some stories.
To answer your question, Frida, actually it's not a new division, but I think Maxis has a mantra saying that we are always looking for new ways of working, new ways of collaboration. And currently we are actually very actively going through digitalization. And it's almost feeling like we are, besides being telco, we are in the business of evaluating and piloting new ways of doing things, new technologies and all that. So in the middle of doing all that for our online channel, our offline channel, we realized that there isn't really a line anymore, or that there isn't really a chasm anymore, right? Nobody's really truly offline, or no retailers can be truly offline nowadays. So in the middle of evaluating all these technologies and new ways of working, the enterprise side of Maxis figure, we've spent all this time and mileage. Why don't we use it and help our customers as well, SMEs and enterprise, SMEs especially. So in a way, we're formulating this way of working that we are, treat us like a curator. We curated and piloted all these solutions, and we've learned good and bad experiences, and there are quite a few bad ones. So by the time you need, I mean, you're all very good at your businesses, whether you're a retailer, you're online, you're logistics, you have stores and all that. But for you to take on, say, for example, an online campaign, right? How do you manage your social media? What social media should you go in? Should you have your own web store? Should you have your app and all that? We've been curating all this for ourselves. Right, so we thought we'll package it as solutions and become enablers. So Maxis is no longer just a telco. We will enable you when you need to go online, and how you bring new things to your offline stores. Right, I think Christy and Hans mentioned this, and Fei Xiang as well. A lot of people go to your stores today, and the term is called showrooming. Right, they showroom the products, and then they are probably buying on Lazada, right? Or Zalora, you know? You should have a store on Lazada so that when they look on Lazada, they see you as well, right? Make sure your prices are competitive in your store, right? So all these need solutions. We're not saying we have all the answers, but we have this. We have curating it. We can offer to you as a solution at a very competitive and good prices. And if it doesn't work, at least you know we will fix it because we're probably using it ourselves at Maxis. You know, so in a way, that's what we are, our angle is. So it's a very new way of collaborating with our customers.
Are you able to share some stories of companies that you work with? If you can't mention the name, at least, some stories.
I'm happy that we can actually share a couple of names because we've been helping them. and you will know some of these names. One of them is Sicily. You know, how many of you know
the
Sicily?
The bra people. Sicily? Yeah.
Gentlemen, you are welcome to put up your hand as well. I'm putting up my hand. You know? So Sicily is one. It's a company called Love Earth that's pretty much organic products, you know. And then there's home care, which is you can buy from anything from plasters to wheelchairs and all that online. And they also own Crocs, right? So it's a good story, each of them, that we've been helping them. We just went through pilot. You can see some of their sites at our booth later. Like, so home care, pretty much, we start them from scratch. Right? They were very much offline. So we brought in a platform that enabled them to have their own, number one, their own URL, their own website, and then their own emails, because they were probably using Gmail before that, and then take them to have a store. Now, this platform of opening your web store managed by us will probably be able to list seamlessly on a platform like Lazada as well in the future. So you don't have to manage multiple platforms, right? So your inventory and all that is the same platform that can be on Lazada as well. Now, Sicily, we actually go offline to online and now looking at bringing them offline again. So the story is good, right? It's a circle. So again, not unlike home care, we brought them to have a web store, enable payment for them on their web store, do boost marketing, online sales, and have online ads and all that. And now they're looking at using the same platform as a POS at the retail. So some of you may go to, who are online, may go to a weekend bazaar and you need a POS instead of using a receipt. Or you may have retail stores that need a POS that is, again, same platform as the one online. Inventory tracked the same way. Your SKUs are tracked the same way. So very online to offline, offline, online, you know, and all that. Just probably one last point is someone like Love Earth that's already been on Lazada or another platform needed the help, because to employ people to manage your online store, if you're an offline player, it takes a lot. And then when technology advances, whether you should have an app, how do you manage your ads and all that, it's a challenge, you know. So we're helping them on that sense as well, and to enable payments on all fronts.
I'll just pick on one personal interest, like Zizili. You were talking about it went offline to online to offline. What happened? What do you mean by that?
Well, Sicily already have their source.
Source, yeah.
Not only that, they probably have their consignment at different retail chains and all that. So multiple platforms, right? So we enable online platforms. They have their traditional POS. And they have some sort of a screen for their salespeople at, when they do consignment, right? So a tool that can seamlessly manage all different channels, you know? And probably when in future, like, everyone's talking about chatbot. What do you do with chatbot, right? What do you do with your social media, like WhatsApp or Facebook? Social media shouldn't just be about a place for people to find out where you are or just to put complaints. You know, I mean, Maxis knows about that. And your chatbot shouldn't just be an FAQ if you have a chatbot, right? It shouldn't be just a dead chatbot. So you have to enable even like payments on your chatbot, for example. So as we go with our journey through Sicily, our partner, after we enabled them online, they figured, hey, do you have something that can help us, our retail stores and our consignment as well? So we are still validating whether the platform is good enough, but we are slowly getting there.
Complaints, very interesting. What is the process, or what do you all do in the case of complaints, whether it's online, offline? And I'll probably address this to Hans, Peixiang, and Christy. Christy, you want to take that on? I mean, what do you do? Let's just talk about online complaints. Offline, I guess they see you face to face, but what do you do in the face of that? I think that's one of the most scariest things when you get that.
We get a lot of complaints every day or so. I think it's tough. It's not easy. You need to be frank, you need a whole team to do it. Depending on your skill and your volume. Each time the complaints, each time you scale, and each time you have more touch points and you go multi-channel, and you have, the more channels you have, the more complaints you're going to have. So I think what we do is our customer service team will try to look into the complaint to see if it's genuine or not genuine. Because nowadays, people complain over anything. So if it's genuine, then if let's say the shoe is not up to the expectation, usually we will, depending on the situation, we will just, you know, save time, just give them a new pair. You know, we do an exchange or a refund. But we have policies in place, like what scenario is the customer entitled for an exchange? In what scenario are they entitled for a refund? We have all these policies in place. Not every customer will be happy after we talk to them, but at least we try our best to make as many people happy as possible. So what we do is we just give them coupon codes, we give them sweeteners to make them happy.
But it's very clear in terms of the process. If this is this, this is this, this is this, so it's very clear. Is that the same for you, Fei Xiang?
Yes, to a certain degree, but I love complaints.
Okay.
I love complaints. Like, for one, it's a great learning tool, especially as a business as young as us, trying to learn what are we doing wrong, what are we missing, and how can we address these things. On top of that, it's great entertainment value for us at the office every now and then. You know, listening to, wow, these guys are really, wow, they're asking for this. I've had one person actually message us, if you don't give me a 30% coupon, I cannot afford anything at your store.
Okay.
I'm like, wow, okay, let's try and entertain that. But there are some that we don't. So it's fun. We personally, I like to work with the team on getting complaints out there because it gives us a chance to really address issues upfront and head on. Whether it's a great compliment or a great star rating, and that's really important, as everyone sort of knows, but those really negative ones are an opportunity for the business to really shine. You take that real problem that people experience, and you have your team, as young as they are, we have a really young team, to say, hey, how are you going to solve this? How are you going to make the customer believe and win his trust back?
Right.
So there are places that people post the complaints on, Facebook for one. It's all out there. Internal reviews is something that we sort of put in as well as they make purchases, mm-hmm. as well as Google. So everything's out there and we try and remain as transparent as we can. So you might as well be upfront as best as you can and just really handle that on straight on. That's how we deal with it.
You are tuned in to BFM 89.9. My name is Rich Brenbury. If you're only just joining us, we're having a look back on our Rocks Rewind. Dazed and confused between offline and online, frictionless walk-in and walk-out concept, grocery stores, all of that kind of stuff. Join us in part 3, looking at how you can best interact with customers, market your products, and hire talents.
Business, finance, and more. BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station. Final segment of today. We are still talking about Dazed and Confused between offline and online in our Rocks Rewind. I'll hand it over to Frieda now. She can walk us through the final segment here on BFM 89.9.
Christy, wanted to ask, would you have done anything differently, right? You now have, would you have gone offline earlier, right? Instead of waiting for 4 years, and now you've got how many stores in 9 months? 6 stores in 9 months, right? Would you have done anything differently?
I don't think I would have done anything differently. If I've opened a retail store in a shopping mall 4 years ago, I think I would be bankrupt by now. Because the economy is very not very good for retail now. So this is the best chance to squeeze rent, you know, and get really
okay,
good
so
deals.
That's, yeah. Because that's your view, yeah. Right? Okay, so tough times, you actually have more power.
I see an opportunity, you know, in this bad economy, because 4 years ago, no mall would ever call my company, zero. But recently, things have took a big turn. So I wouldn't have gone 4 years ago because I wasn't ready back then. In terms of my product range, in terms of my maturity, my readiness to tank huge losses was not there 4 years ago. But now we are more ready. And I guess we used that 4 years to really build our base. I think that's very important. Our base. we used that 4 years to ensure more customers know about us, reach out to more people. And then when we opened the physical store finally, we really saw the ROI from all the footwork, that the groundwork that we did 4 years online. We could see all the work translate into sales, into paying customers.
The other challenge I know would be with logistics, right? Because that is, you either get it right, or I'm sure there are a lot of learning points as well. Maybe I'll start off with Hans, with the intricacies behind logistics, behind the scenes. What are some of the things that people need to understand?
I think being online and having customers on your page that are buying product and click check out and pay, that's the easy part. That's really, really easy. Making sure that the product that you have ordered arrives in the promised time and the quality you expect and it's the right product, that sounds very easy too, but it isn't. And I think just one or two things. Imagine like we're doing a lot of campaigns, everyone knows. Yeah, we're doing one, by the way, Ramadan, 19th of May, it starts, as a side note. But how much preparation goes into that campaign on the logistics side to cover up for that increase of demand and prepare everyone, you don't even want to know. We have 100 people, 150 people working on, let's say, the Ramadan campaign since December. On and off, and there were other campaigns in between, but we always knew Ramadan is the biggest period and we need to get ready, which means you go to the logistics companies in October last year and tell them you're going to need 2,000 more trucks in June 2017. Trust me. And they say, really, should I spend a lot of money? And you try to convince them to get the bloody trucks because otherwise we cannot deliver the products anymore. Malaysia will run out of delivery capacity for e-commerce by the end of next year, the latest, as is. Us alone, our orders alone in December 2018, there are not enough trucks in this country right now and motorbikes.
Business opportunity there, okay.
So getting ready for this takes time. It's not so easy to raise money, invest, and you know, build your operations, hire people. Customer service, we talk about customer service. You know how many people start calling in Malaysia on the second or latest third day when they haven't received your item? You can't even promise them 5 days, but after the third day, they start calling, where's my item? We say, hey, we have two more days. Fine, where's my item? So during every campaign, people start calling us like crazy. We need to hire people for this. We need to get prepared. Sometimes it's 2-3 times the number of calls. So getting prepared for this, you don't see it. You just complain maybe that it takes 1.5 hours longer for the reply. But the truth is, we have been planning for this moment 6 months in advance to have the right number of people at the right time being ready to fulfill the needs. And this is like something that you never see. Also, the kind of products we push to you. You think it's maybe coincidentally, no, but we know based on data exactly what you do. It's very scary. Data and predictions are at a level that you don't even imagine. We can tell you in this room, if you have your Lazada shopping app, or if you browse online, who wants to get kids in the next 6 months? Yes, it's easy if you search at a book and say, how do I get pregnant, etc. But even without that, we will know, you are that kind of customer, and you're that kind of age group, you're that kind of income group, you just got married, based on what you buy, the vacations you do, you will start a family very soon. And that kind of data, brands want to use, will use, we will use. So nothing is really coincidentally that's happening to you. When you get a push notification, when you get an email, that's all on purpose. We know you better, than your own mom sometimes. We know you better than you think. And so this data is something that platforms like Lazada use very heavily to create a positive experience and to really anticipate the next steps and the way to engage with you.
Nothing add, Fei
Xiang? Logistics. I have to agree with you. It's something that is a learning progress or a constant learning process for us. Having the warehouse closer to HQ always helps if that's something that you guys or any one of you out there have. That allows you greater control, agility, and mobility, of course. So, for us, partnering with great partners is crucial, integral. upfront, we utilize PostLaju. And to be frank and fair, as bad as you might want to think them to be sometimes, they are pretty decent. They do a decent job. They do a great job. It's great supporting also local Malaysian companies that have been around. Internationally, what we use SF Express. They handle global deliveries for us and things like that. So it's trying to factorize these cost factors into your shipping at the same time. Because as a retailer, it's all about the margins. How much can I shave? How much can I save to make up that 1%, to save that 2%, to get you that GP that you eventually want at the end of the day? So all these things have to be really calculated and put into thought deep down and planned out over the next 6 to 8 to 12 months at least, so sort of get there where you want it to be.
I think to add on to, I think data is very important. So I was online for 4 years, so I know where all my customers live. So from there, I decide where my physical store should be. Very simple. That's how I do my, that's how I rationalize. And then how old my customers are, okay, when they start their journey with me, they're usually a bride looking for a pair of wedding shoes. So after they buy our shoes, they get married, they subscribe to our email broadcast and stuff like that. Maybe in the next 1 year, next 6 months, they'll go back to work, they'll be, you know, so we push our leather shoes to them, our work shoes to them. Then maybe 1 or 2 years down the line, we'll push maternity shoes. You know, probably they're pregnant or starting a family. Yeah, the data helps us, helps my team think ahead of what kind of shoes we should design the next 6 months. What kind of shoes should we design the next, 2 years? So, yeah, so that's adding on to what Han said about data. And on logistics, it's very, very important. An online store allows us to ship worldwide. So that's what we are doing now. And most of our customers are from the US, Singapore and Australia, these three areas. Yeah, so we logistics is important. We use a few, what I do is I just use a few providers in case one fails to deliver, I have a backup. And on the local front, I use PostLaju. So far, I don't need trucks, so many trucks. But I think PostLaju is enough for us at this point of time. And we also use a few last mile 3PL delivery companies to run our business.
I know that we were talking about how having gone offline, how revenues have increased tremendously for you. But along with that, also the headaches that come with it, right?
A lot of headaches, everyday headache nonstop. But I'm learning to...
Staffing, right?
Yeah. One thing I learned, recruiting someone for my office to run my e-commerce store is a lot easier for me. You know, office people, it's like so easy to hire, I don't curse myself, but it's easier to hire. But when I opened my first retail store, it's so difficult to find promoters, people who are willing to sit there 10 to 10 and man your store, because the millennials will not do such thing. So, that's when my headaches start, hiring a different type of people from the type of people that I usually hire. So you have to be very resourceful and go to the ends of the earth to dig out the right talent to man your store. And then training is very important as well. And then they need good mentorship, they need good leaders. So that's a whole different ball game for me. Whereas online is very simple. My staff come in at 9 a.m. They pick and pack everything in the warehouse. Pick, pack, pick, pack. By 2 o'clock, the truck comes. Everything push in a truck, ship out. That's how my e-commerce is run. But for my retail store, there has to be constant communication between my HQ and my retail assistant. You know, on what are the stocks that I need to replenish. You know, then I need a different team to do my visual merchandising. I need an internal audit team to do my stock count. All of a sudden, I need so many things. You know, before that was a lot simpler. So I'm learning to adapt, but I'm learning to adapt and get better at it from time to time.
Okay. So I have a recommendation for that. So what we're trying with a young crowd, let's say when we started our marketplace, initially retail is buying. It's, You decide what you want to buy, at which cost, how much you want to buy. There are seasons maybe in fashion especially. So, and what we saw is when you move people to marketplace, the way you interact with sellers is different than the way you interact with your suppliers that you buy from or with the brands. So what we did, we always started, we think that, you know, brick and mortar experience, and for us this is like buying, we let young guys start buying. And only then, once they understood how to negotiate and what kind of deals you make, we move them over to marketplace. What we're trying now, we're having like an management associate program that is like 2 years, it's 18 months now, but I want to extend it to 2 years. 6 months of that needs to be with an offline brand, an offline store, an offline retail chain. Why? Because that's brick and mortar. That's customer interaction. That's how you know visual merchandising is much more challenging than uploading a banner here. I mean, yes, to get the data more, but it's like really make it attractive visually online, offline, is tough. And I think you should hire online people, but then you second them to your offline stores so they really understand how offline works, and you tell them, hey, if you really want to be great at this, you need to know both worlds, because customers live in both worlds. They are present in both worlds. So if you want to be great online, you need to be very great offline too, and send them there. We can work something out maybe with our...
Send them our way. Yeah, definitely. We'll talk.
Okay, folks, that was it for our Dazed and Confused Between Offline and Online. That was something that we did last year for BFM's Enterprise Rocks when we're talking about the future of retail. Stay tuned, though. There's more coming up next week. We'll be looking at some other stuff. We might even be looking at My Retail Generation, more than just another brick in the wall, or I Want You to Want My Products in part two of our Rocks Rewind. You are listening to Enterprise here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.